Are you ready to bring your dream body and health into life, but just can't seem to keep the motivation going? And is it finally time to address the self-sabotage and the unwanted eating behaviors such as binge eating, emotional eating, and nighttime eating that are getting in the way of your goals? Do you ever wonder what it would take for you to feel in control of your rituals so that you can stay consistent and see results? Welcome to this week's special Make Peace with Food minisode on the Fall in Love with Fitness podcast, where you'll learn how to overcome unwanted eating behavior and other self-sabotaging habits by shifting your nervous system so that your body works with you instead of against you. I'm your host, Sherry Chaban, and with each episode, I am honored to be your coach and guide in the journey to make peace with food and find food and body freedom so that struggle with weight is a thing of the past. Today's episode marks the official launch of this new weekly Make Peace with Food minisode series, where you can tune in every Thursday to catch the latest conversation on unwanted eating behaviors and learn how to shift the nervous system, rewire the brain to new patterns, and end the food and body obsession so you finally feel relaxed and no longer confused around food. In this weekly minisode, I intend to share with you all my tips, advice, and strategies to help you become a fat-burning machine without the restrictive diets and exercise punishment to exhaustion. On today's episode, I share with you my story and why I'm so passionate about helping people release diet mindset and adopt an intuitive connection with body and movement, which is my philosophy when it comes to eating and training, and the secret behind how I built a strong, lean body despite near paralysis and two back surgeries. I also introduce the effects of the nervous system and how it's the actual culprit behind our self-sabotaging behavior, and not at all due to the lack of motivation or discipline, which is what diet culture tells us. Now, before we begin, I want to quickly invite you to grab a free copy of my Food Freedom ebook I have for you on makepeacewithfood.com. And if you find that this conversation resonates with you today, then I also want to invite you to join our free Make Peace with Food Facebook community at myfoodfreedomlifestyle.com, where you can connect with me and my team directly. The links are in the show notes. All right, athletes, now let's get to it. What's important to discuss today is why we are triggered towards unwanted eating behavior, and more importantly, why the nervous system is behind that. So let me first begin by introducing myself. My name is Sherry Chaban, and I am from Montreal, Canada. I'm a health and life coach going on to almost 25 years now in this space. And the reason why I am so passionate about helping women overcome unwanted eating behavior is because for so many years in my career, ever since I started in my early 20s, learned a lot about nutrition, worked with high-level athletes, worked with moms, worked with really very different type of women and populations, I always noticed that there was this common behavior, there was this common pattern that I always saw every single time a person got very restrictive on a diet or restrictive on a meal plan, and they did really, really well on it. They got success temporarily, and then all of a sudden, the moment that they came off of the meal plan, that's where we started to see unwanted eating behavior. And more importantly, I saw this more and more frequently show up for those who were perpetual dieters, for those who were constantly in and out of one diet after the other, one restrictive process after the other. And so this is what we're going to be talking about. And when I first started my journey 20 some years ago, I was actually in my early 20s, and you may know my story, but actually the reason why I got into the health and fitness space is because I actually wanted to overcome a major back injury. So when I was a kid, when I was 16 years old, I was super involved in sports. That's really how I knew myself. It's how I identified myself. In elementary school, I was the tomboy, and I would compete against the boys in school. I wanted to run faster. I wanted to do more push-ups than them. And so I took on that identity for so long and got into so many different types of sports and different types of activities where I really was able to compete. And so at the age of 16, unfortunately, I had a bad accident. I was hit by a car. And as a result to that, what ended up happening is I damaged my spine. And not even a few months later, I ended up having my first back surgery. And then I was told that I was never going to play sports again. I was asked to stop playing sports and to stop being active because my back couldn't handle it. And if I were to re-injure myself, it would be very serious. And in fact, if ever one day I were to become pregnant, then they would need to follow me and monitor me very closely because I was vulnerable in the lower back, so in my lumbar spine, and I had several herniated discs. And so I followed this advice for years and actually found myself moving away from the athletic identity to the party girl identity. And I really have to say that for many years, I did not resonate with who that person had become. And so when I first had that aha moment in my early 20s where I just could not recognize myself, I did not recognize the activities that I was doing, the habits I was engaged in, I decided to come back to the gym and to commit to myself. And at that time, I was actually on pain medication every single day to get through the day. My whole world revolved around my back. So that was determining how long I would sit in a particular position for, what type of chair it was, what kind of car it was. And if ever I was at a party, I would always have to ask the host if it would be okay that I go lie down somewhere. And so that was really my world. That was the space that I was in for quite some time. And when I got into the fitness space and I signed up at that very first gym, I had no idea what I was doing, okay? I was a chemist. In fact, I was doing my master's degree in chemistry. I was a little science nerd working behind, a fume hood, that was me. And really, even though I enjoyed chemistry, I always felt like there was this massive disconnect from really working one-on-one with people and being able to help them personally and help them overcome whatever struggle that they were going through. And so I consistently showed up at that gym when I first signed up. And after a few months of building strength, I was able to come off of my pain medication. And that was the moment that really changed the whole trajectory of my life. I dropped out of my chemistry degree. I went back to school. I went back to Concordia University. I ended up doing another bachelor's degree in exercise science. And then I got into athletic therapy and then I became an osteopath. And along the way, learned everything there possibly was about nutrition, about training, about fitness. And that's where really my relationship with food started to change. And so this is really important. And why I want to share this with you is because our relationship with food is actually not about the food. It has actually nothing to do with the food. Even though we think it's about the food, even though we try to overcome our relationship with food through controlling the food, that's actually what makes it worse. That's actually what ends up putting more fuel into the fire. And so as I was getting into the fitness space, I too started to experiment with diets. And my intention at that time was not to release weight. It was really to find the right way to eat, because there has to be this right way to eat. And my background is in science. So I was on such a mission to find the right way. And when I first started to explore these avenues, I started with calorie counting, as we all did. Stop restricting and you stop counting calories and you actually start to move into what we call intuitive eating, which will be something that I will be discussing with you, because very soon you're going to learn that I am anti-diet and I'm all about the habit stacking and I'm all about really helping you transform to the person that you are always meant to be without the restrictive diets and without all of this exercise punishment and all this hyper focus on percent body fat. But the thing is, your body has a higher form of intelligence, which means the moment that you step away from the mind, so we get out of the mind and we step into the body is going to start to tell us exactly what it needs. Is this something that you want to learn about? Is this something that you're ready to give up? Is this something that you're no longer wanting to engage in, noticing that it hasn't actually brought you to where you want to go? It hasn't even brought you to your goals. But instead, what we're going to do is we're actually going to talk about how we can reverse engineer this. So back when I started getting into more information on nutrition and on diets, like I was saying earlier, I first started with a low calorie diet. And then after that, I started hearing about how fats were very bad for us. And so I converted to a low fat diet because that's what the science says. The science says the fat is bad for us and it's going to kill us. It's the cause of high cholesterol and blood pressure and heart attacks and all of these things. And so that went really well for a while until this dude named Atkins came out of nowhere and then said, you know what, fats are actually really great and carbohydrates are bad and we should eat tons of meat. So I was like, all right, the science is there. I'm on board. And then eventually I got into the CrossFit space. And if you're familiar with CrossFit, then you know that paleo and zone go hand in hand with CrossFit. And so, of course, I started to eat like a caveman because that's what the science said and that's how we were supposed to eat. And then eventually that became the zone diet because then I heard that's how we're supposed to eat. And then it was keto, and then I became vegan. And more importantly, I became extremely confused. The coach with two bachelor's degrees, who's an osteopath, who's done all of these years in training and in nutrition and in fitness and in experience, is completely confused. And that's when it hit me that we are all confused when it comes to food because we no longer are listening to our body. We're listening to what the app is saying or what the diet is saying. And we're following these intensely polarizing comments about how certain foods are good and certain foods are bad. And here is the thing. What's behind the unwanted eating behavior is a feeling of scarcity. There is a lack. There is a void almost, if you will, that we are looking to fulfill when we're turning towards food. As I share with you the unwanted eating behaviors, I also want to state that this is not for the intention to label ourselves. Please don't label yourself. Never, in fact, put anything after the words "I am" and make a statement about yourself, because that ends up becoming your truth. So if you're experiencing binge eating, you're experiencing binge eating. So you are not a binge eater. So avoid saying, "I am a binge eater." Maybe instead use the language, I may be engaging in the habits of binge eating, right? So disconnect that becoming your identity, because identity is everything, and we're going to be talking about this so much. There is this process that happens in the body with every single thought that we have. Thought creates chemistry in the body, which we're also going to be sharing with you so that you understand the power of language and you understand, more importantly, the power of self-talk. And most of us are continuing to engage in negative self-talk, not understanding how harmful it can be. And so as we really get back into what's behind the unwanted eating behavior, I want you to think about this a moment. Whether you are binge eating, which by the way means that we are eating more than what a normal quantity would look like. And what I really want you to think about when it comes as well to that particular term is the feeling of out of control. And I want you to think about the feeling of out of control around every single one of your behaviors, because it's really the self-sabotage that we are focusing on. That's what we are addressing. It is that desire to stop, but we're not stopping, or we feel like we can't stop, or there's no amount of discipline or accountability or willpower or motivation that is getting us to stop. And so that's really the key. So as we discuss binge eating as an example, I want you to think about that feeling where you're full and you can't stop and you still have cravings. And maybe your stomach is uncomfortable, and maybe you're feeling nauseous, or maybe you already have heartburn and you're still wanting to go back and look for more. Now, when we learned about binge eating back in middle school, I believe, when we learned about that, we learned binge eating in association with some sort of purging, whether that is induced vomiting or exercise. And so many of us have this image of binge eating as eating 5,000, 6,000, 7,000 calories worth of food in a very short amount of time so that we can purge afterwards. But whether we eat an entire box of Oreos in one sitting or we eat an entire box of Oreos all day long within that day, that's still considered binge eating. Again, it's not to add a label. We're not doing it for that reason, because you're gonna see there's a lot of overlap between all of the unwanted eating behavior, but it's more just to clarify again that out of controlness and that excessiveness in the behavior where it is sabotaging our results. And more importantly, it's taking over our world, because anybody who's experiencing unwanted eating behavior is thinking about this all the time. It is so over consuming. There is the thought of food all the time, and the thought of the not eating the food because we're worried about the consequences that follow and we know what happened that previous time. Then there's a thought about what to eat and when to eat and how much to eat. And then afterwards, when we've overeaten, there's the constant feeling of guilt and shame. And then, of course, we are fixated on the weight and we're fixated on the body image. And so all of these things together are consuming our mental capacity. And what we are going to do is we're going to move away from that, because you're going to learn very soon that the longer that we're engaged in that space, whatever we focus on expands, whatever we give more attention to grows. The more that we focus on that, the more that we're going to stay stuck in the pattern. But essentially, that would be the rough definition of binge eating. Now, we also have overeating or compulsive overeating. And that could be that we just had a meal and then we went to mom's house and we smelled that fresh pizza that she always baked when we were kids. And then we had another full meal. Okay. Or it could even be that I have to finish off my kids' plates. I can't let any food go to waste. And maybe we even tell our kids, you have to eat everything on the plate. You have to make sure that you finish everything before you leave the table, even if you don't like it, even if you have to be humiliated to the point where you're going to finish it. Okay. So that could be a form of overeating. And of course, if we've engaged in that behavior as a child, then we're going to be experiencing that as an adult and forcing ourselves to overeat even though we're full simply because we don't want to waste food. All right. Now, mindless eating, that is eating without being present. So you could be on the computer eating while you're cooking. You could maybe be nibbling on things or while you're on the phone, you're munching on things. And it is a massive form of unawareness. There's not a connection between the eating and the actual presence that you're in and even understanding how much you just had. And so it can even happen at the movie theater, for example. You ever notice that when you're at the movies and you have a bag of popcorn and all of a sudden you notice that your hand is on the bottom of the bag and you're like, how did that happen? Like, whoa, I ate all that, right? So that is a form of mindless eating, disconnection between the present moment and the engagement of eating. And then we have also evening snacking, which is similar to the mindless eating or the overeating, except what's interesting about the nighttime snacking or the evening snacking is that it actually follows our circadian rhythm. So this one is kind of a tricky one. There are other ways that we actually go about overcoming this behavior because it follows our circadian rhythm due to how we've evolved. So if you think about the day when we've evolved from hunter-gatherers, even though we actually have still on Earth here in present moment, hunter-gatherer communities still conducting and living in this way. But if you think about how we used to get our food, we would spend the day hunting or gathering food from the trees, whatever would be available in season. And then it would likely be by the end of the day that we have the opportunity to eat. And so that's why that one particular behavior is a little bit trickier to overcome. And what I also want to point out is if you are observing hunter-gatherer communities or if you are familiar with how we've evolved, we never had access to food-like substances as we have today. So of course, even though, let's say our ancestors would eat the majority of their food in the evening, they also didn't eat the Twinkies and the Oreo cookies and the pizza and the ice cream and all the things that we have available now. And so of course, as we know, those foods offer calories, yes, but they don't offer a lot of nutrients. And so because of that level of nutrient emptiness, we're actually seeking more food. Again, we'll be covering that on a different live. And now we also have other eating behaviors such as emotional eating or stress eating that are very much triggered by our emotions or by stress. Certain people might go through emotions of sadness or breakups and not really feel like they're hungry. They may have no appetite, but then only during stressful situations do they notice that that's when they tend to overeat or tend to binge eat. And so I'm just going to share that with you today because I want you just to start noticing your behavior because we cannot heal what we don't know what we're trying to heal. And so creating awareness around what we are doing is going to be that very, very first step. And then the second thing that I'm going to ask of you is desire, that you want to overcome this. So knowing something is one thing, but then wanting to overcome it, wanting to make the change, that is a whole other thing. So if you're noticing that you have this unwanted eating behavior, it is interfering with your life, it is interfering with your sleep, with your health, maybe even your relationships, and you're also noticing that this is enough. I want to put an end to this. I want to do something about this. Then that's where we can now move towards healing. And if that sounds like that's where you're at right now, please reach out. We would love to help you. If you jump on a discovery call with us, we can help you determine where you are right now. We can create a plan to help you move towards that place that you want to go. And if we feel that you'd be a right fit for our program, which actually focuses on the nervous system to shift unwanted eating behaviors, we'll let you know. And if you're not a right fit for our program, we'll also let you know kindly, and then we'll also offer you other resources. So you have absolutely nothing to lose, but instead maybe actually get more aware and more clear around how to start to move towards your healing journey. Let's talk about what is behind the unwanted eating behavior. The unwanted eating behavior, believe it or not, has nothing to do, again, with the food. In fact, the more we try to control the food, the more we drive that behavior, and the more strongly we actually engrave that pattern in the subconscious mind. You're going to see me always do this, because every time I do this, I'm going to be referring to the unconscious mind, which you're going to again start to notice how much it plays in our day-to-day life. And so we have two nervous system functions when we're talking about the autonomic nervous system. Now, I won't get into the geeky little details of the nervous system, but I do want to say to you that we have a central nervous system and then we have the autonomic nervous system. The central nervous system is this, me commanding my arms to raise and lower, me doing this to tell you about the subconscious programming. It is voluntary. It's under my voluntary control and command. So I can tell my body to do something and it's going to do it. That's the central nervous system. That is the spinal cord. That's the nerves that go into the legs and the extremities and the head and so on. And now we also have the autonomic nervous system, and that is automatically just going on in the background without us having to command it. That's our heartbeat. That is the digestion that's happening now. That is the urine collecting in our bladders as we're listening to this live. So all the things that we don't need to command our body to do, that's under the governing function of the autonomic nervous system. Now, this beautiful autonomic nervous system helps us to survive and also helps us to do other functions such as digestion, such as healing and recovery. And so we talk about the nervous system and make peace with food using two terminology. We talk about protection mode and we talk about safety mode. Now, protection mode is the sympathetic nervous system. You may have already heard about this. That's fight or flight. That is when the alarms go off and we need to do something to ensure our survival. So that is protection mode. And then we have also safety mode, which is parasympathetic. You may have heard of that term, which is rest and digest. And when we are in safety mode, that's where we can be creative. That's where we're calm. That's where we're centered. That's where we're at peace. That's where we don't fear or worry about anything. And so all of the unwanted eating behaviors actually are happening at this level. They're happening because they are driven by protection mode. Now, protection mode uses the reptilian part of the brain. It overrides any rationale. So any sort of thoughts that we would have, there's no logic when we are triggered in protection mode. Everything is reactive. And you'll notice this, right? If somebody jumps in my office suddenly, I'm going to think immediately about how I can survive. I'm going to think about my dogs. I'm going to think about my kids. I'm going to think about all the things that I have in the house, all the potential dangers that might happen. And I don't sit and actually think logically. And I don't, of course, invite this person to come sit down and meditate with me or to do yoga with me, right? So our body is geared up to fight. It's geared up to flee. It's geared up to attack and to freeze if it has to. So it's really trying to ensure our safety. So anytime that we have triggered protection mode, that's when we will notice that we are going to always seek our survival. And now on a very primitive level, food for us equals safety, right? Doesn't it feel so good when we're sitting on the couch at the end of the night eating something? We just feel so cozy and cuddly and safe and relaxed, right? We don't think about it this way, but that would also be our first inclination. If let's say there was a stray dog that came to the door and you noticed that probably has been out on the streets for a couple days, the first thought that you would have intuitively is, I have to feed this poor thing, right? And so if we're turning to food and we are feeling out of control around food, whether we are mindless eating or binge eating or emotional eating or stress eating or nighttime snacking, we can't stop it. It is the response of protection mode. It's being driven by the nervous system that is trying to ensure your survival. And the way that it can do that is it's going to ask you to eat more. So you're going to have a lot more cravings. And not just to eat more, but we're going to actually be moving towards foods that are higher in calories. We don't crave carrots and celery. And I'm sure you'll notice that if you did decide to go for carrots and celery, after a while, your brain's like, nah, this is dumb. Mm-mm. Let's go for the cookies. Let's go for the ice cream. That's way better, right? That's when we have protection mode kicked in because we want a bigger bang for our buck. We know that these foods have more calories and therefore can ensure our survival longer if we actually choose those foods. And then the other thing that happens when we're in protection mode is that we see that our metabolism slows down. Because if my body has no idea whether or not I'm going to survive, it's going to make sure that it puts everything in place so that I do survive. So eat more, move less, slow down the metabolism, feel heavier in my body, have all these thoughts about trying to stay safe, a lot of thoughts that are actually freezing. So what I mean by freezing is emotionally freezing. When we get anxious, when we have fear, when we have doubt, we freeze. And so when we're in protection mode, we're gonna start to notice all of these things. And now I wanna just leave you with that today. I want you just to think about that today. And the greatest takeaways I want for you today is really just to think about, does this make sense for me? Does it really seem that I could actually be operating from this place? Am I really experiencing unwanted eating behavior? Am I experiencing eating behavior that I feel that I don't actually have control over? Am I noticing often that my mood is generally anxious, uncertain, fearful, doubtful? Maybe I'm sad, maybe I'm depressed. Maybe I have a lot of uncertainty even around myself. Maybe I have a lot of feelings of not enoughness. So those are generally the feelings that go with these unwanted eating behaviors. And now the thoughts that go with that are always going to be around worst case scenarios. So are you noticing that your thoughts are always focusing on what could go wrong? Maybe things that would worry you, things that will not work out for you. Maybe they're thoughts about scarcity, how there's not enough of certain resources, how there won't be enough food if you don't have that now, as an example, how you're not enough, how you may not be good enough for certain things. I want you just to take a moment to think about that, because what we're going to do next time, we're going to talk about what triggers the protection mode. I hope that this has resonated with you today. I hope that you took away one thing. And if you did take away one thing, I would love to hear that. I'm always a resource for you. You got this. Thank you for listening to this week's Make Peace with Food minisode on the Fall in Love with Fitness podcast. If this has resonated with you today, I want to invite you to subscribe to the show so you never miss a beat. And if you know someone who could benefit from this conversation, then please share this episode with them. Let's work together to help as many people as possible make peace with food and fall in love with fitness. And by the way, I need to mention that if you rate and review this podcast on iTunes and send over the screenshot to sherry@sherrychaban.com, you'll receive a $500 voucher to join me at one of my upcoming retreats or to use it in our Make Peace with Food coaching program. And don't forget to visit myfoodfreedomlifestyle.com to join the free Facebook group for more resources. And remember, athlete, you are an inspiration. I cannot wait to hear your story.